Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Throughout this Lenten season, I've been reminded over and over again how clear it is that the Lord's hands have been at work in my life. And I pray that God has reminded you of the same thing as well, that the Lord's hands are always and forever at work in your life. Today, as we contemplate the crucifixion of our Lord, we remember what the Lord's hands were doing on that first Good Friday. And it was a Good Friday. Some people like to play that down and call this Black Friday or the Friday of Holy Week, but it is Good Friday because, as I said at the beginning of our service today, this is not a funeral for our Lord and Savior. Many of you are wearing black today, and rightly so, that's fine, but it's not a funeral. It's a day for us to contemplate the passion of our Lord and Savior, and with restrained joy, remember what God accomplished for us on this day. And when we focus on that fact that the Lord's hands are always at work in our lives, we can remember that God is in control and that His hands can do absolutely anything. And that gives us great freedom to allow God to be in control and to not want to seize that control from Him. The work of our Lord's hand has been evident during this Lenten season. As we've welcomed many visitors into our midst here at Emmanuel, and also as we've witnessed the birth of new life. And even today, as we've seen the process of watching loved ones being summoned into the arms and the hands of our Lord Jesus, as was Bob this morning. Even as we experience that pull of death upon those that we love, we recognize the fact that our broken hearts are in His hands, as He is the master physician who is able to bring us back to life. His hands are strong to save and to pull us out of the depths of despair. He has bound the strong man, the devil, by the finger of God. He reached out, as we've heard, to heal people with leprosy. And He continues to bring healing to all of us. His hand of compassion stops death in its tracks for good. And it gives life. All things are in His hand. And we can trust that this day, He, in fact, does have the whole world in His hands, even our very lives. Last night, having all things in His hands, He served His disciples and He fed them, as He continues to serve and feed us here today. All of this has been leading up to this moment. For on this Good Friday, He was delivered into the hands of sinful men. Indeed, even into our hands. And we'll see in just a few moments in our readings what the sinful man hands of men have done to our Lord. His betrayer led a band of soldiers to arrest Him and take Him to the high priest. And then one of the officers of that high priest struck Him with his hand as Jesus testified to the truth. Then He was handed over to Caiaphas. All the while, Peter was sitting in that courtyard warming his hands by the fire as he was denying our Lord. Then Jesus was handed over to Pilate, who wanted to keep his hands clean of the whole matter. Soldiers used their hands to twist a crown made of thorns and then press it into his brow. They clothed him in purple and struck him with lashes. But the cries of "Crucify him" echoed all the louder as Pilate attempted to wash his hands of the whole matter. And just like that, the Lord of glory, the one through whom are all the wondrous works of God, the one in whom all things were given, was crucified. Nails were driven into the hands of our Lord. And that's the work of the world's hands. This is what the world has to offer our Lord. This is what we've offered to him. The world rejected him, refusing to see the work of his hands as the hands of the king. So those hands were pierced as they were nailed to the cross. We put so much work into what we do with our hands. And above all, with our sense of entitlement, no matter how great or how little we do, we think that we deserve to be elevated and exalted. Our power grabs, our desires to place ourselves first among others, and our desire to even put ourselves above God himself. All of that is to say that the work of our own hands deserves the right for us to be in charge. We think that we deserve to be the king. But the truth is, there can only be one king. Our desire to elevate ourselves means that anyone else who claims to be king must die. And that's just what we've done to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. The sinful work of our hands hoisted him up on that cross and drove those nails into his hands. So, what can Christ do with hands that are nailed to a cross? It might appear at first glance that those hands are unable to do anything. To those who witnessed these events, it all looked like only the hands of sinful men were orchestrating everything. What can hands do when pinned to the cross? We look back at Isaiah, and we remember that Isaiah foretold all of it. Isaiah writes of this suffering servant who shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. But he will also be marred beyond human semblance. His exaltation will not be what people expect. And the people will be astonished with that great question, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Throughout Isaiah, that phrase, the arm of the Lord, carries much of the same meaning as the hand of the Lord in the rest of the Old Testament. The arm of the Lord displays his might, his glory, his care, his judgment, and ultimately his salvation. Upon looking at this suffering servant, how could all of that be the arm of the Lord? He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah is not just speaking for himself. He's not just speaking for his own time. not even just speaking for Jesus' time. Even we today are all a part of this. This is our sin. This is what we have to offer the Lord's servant. Our sin drove those nails into the hand of our Lord. Likewise, to those who saw all of these things take place, it appeared as if this was only the work of the hands of sinful men. And yes, our hands are involved in this, but Isaiah helps us to see that Christ's suffering and death was not only the work of our hands. He continues that this one whom we esteem, stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, has accomplished something that we could not do. For he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. This chastisement was done to bring peace and healing by his wounds. This world's sin, our sin, has been laid on him. It was the Lord who did it. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. This was the arm of the Lord all along. This was God's plan from the very beginning, from Genesis chapter 3, where we have the promise of the one who would crush the head of the serpent. It's true that this sinful world did these things to Christ. However, it's the will of the Lord that this is how salvation would happen. It was his plan all along. He makes intercession for the transgressors, Isaiah says. Christ has atoned for all of our sin. He's atoned for the sin of the whole world. Every misdeed, every hateful action, every sinful thought, he has taken the punishment that we actually deserve by the sin of our hands. He willingly took our place in order to bring forgiveness and life and salvation to us sinners. Willingly remaining silent, like a sacrificial lamb. You'll hear the choir sing about it in just a moment. He took all of our transgressions upon himself. He took all of it to the cross and received in his body the full punishment that we deserve. The wrath of God and the condemnation that this world has earned and deserved by its hands was poured out on him. And all of it was nailed to the cross. So I ask again, what can those hands do while nailed to the cross? Those are not just any hands. Those are the hands of Jesus, the hands of our Lord, the hands of God himself. And when it's Jesus' hands on the cross, they are the hands of the Lord, and they're life-giving hands. Hands of the Lord, who is strong to save, even when it looks like weakness. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross shows the powerful hand of the Lord at work. For the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The will of the Lord prospers in the hand of Christ, who was nailed to the cross. Because in Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. And with his hands and feet and side pierced, in this very act itself, he is able to do more than the most powerful human being. He's able to do what no one else can do. And he's done it. For he cried out, "It is finished." All his work to atone for our sins was concluded on that cross nearly 2,000 years ago. What can Jesus do with hands nailed to the cross? In that one single act, he atoned for the sin of the whole world. And then Isaiah says that this suffering servant shall see his offspring. And that's all those who are now a part of the family of God by faith in Christ. That's you, brothers and sisters. And this is why it's the will of the Lord for Christ to suffer and to die. It was in order for the Lord to gather his people under his merciful hand to forgive their sins. And Jesus went through all of that suffering in order to see you with him forever. And he even today continues to extend his hands to you through the preaching of his word, through the forgiveness of your sins, through the pouring out of water and word in holy baptism, and through feeding you with his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. What can Christ do with his hands nailed to the cross? He does what only he can do. This is the will of the Lord prospering in his hand. This is the power of God's holy arm for salvation. It may not have been what any one of us would have expected, but it's exactly what we needed. The one with the pierced hands is drawing you close to himself to be with him forever. Amen. The peace of God won for us on that cross, and which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.